weren't sure what to do. You weren't sure what God's will was for you in that decision. You weren't sure whether if you made one decision over another, whether you would be walking outside of God's will or whether you'd be walking in it. Maybe it's choice of a job, looking for a job, picking one over another. Maybe as you wrestled over whom you might marry, you had potential candidates and you were wondering, well, who would the Lord have me to marry? Maybe what college should I go to? There's many decisions we have to make that we need to have guidance for. And the world does many things to gain guidance. It'll read horoscopes and newspapers. I wonder how I should respond to decisions in my life this day. Well, let's see what the newspaper has to say about that. Or they'll go to talk to fortune tellers to get their fortunes read, to have them read cards or read their palm, fortune cookies. We had Chinese food last night. We haven't cracked them open yet. But where do we go to find direction for our life? How do we make decisions in our lives? How do we know that we're doing what God wants us to do? That's a pretty serious matter. We want to do what God wants us to do, don't we? We want to walk according to His will, don't we? Wouldn't it be nice if we could, like the Old Testament saints of old, have prophets around us that we could go and consult? If Samuel were here, we had a decision to make about what we should do. Samuel, can you give me some insight here? Could you help me as I make a decision? What should I do here? What would the Lord have me do? Or any of the other Old Testament prophets, wouldn't it be nice if we could have a prophet to hear from that would lead us in God's way? Well, the first thing I want you to understand is that there is in existence today a prophet to which we may turn. And that prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 18:18, God said to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. You see, the job of a prophet is to declare God's will to his people. That's what Moses' job was. God had selected him to be a great prophet in Israel. And the Lord spoke directly to Moses, and Moses communicated God's will to the people. And now God is saying, Moses, I'm going to raise up a prophet greater than you. And I'm going to speak to him, and he will lead my people, and he will teach them what I have to say. And that role is filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Holdeman this morning told us that Christ executes the office of a prophet. And why does he have to do that for us? Well, because we're ignorant, he reminded us. And we see Jesus taking up the role of a prophet in John 12:49-50, when he said, For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. You see, Jesus is a prophet. He's communicating God's word. He's communicating God's will. Jesus goes on to say, And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And so there is a prophet that we go to today to know God's will. There's a prophet living this day, reigning this day, to give us direction. And the words that are spoken by that prophet, in fact, by God the Father, by the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are given to us. They're recorded for us in the Scriptures. They are our true guide for everything that we do. We see our prophet has spoken to us. He's given us his very words, and they're recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures. Now, what are we to do with this word? We should seek direction by the word, but how do we seek direction? How much direction do they give? Maybe you know the story of the man who was trying to make a decision in his life about one thing, so he thought he'd open up the Bible, that was a good place to start, but he wasn't sure how to use it. So he just flipped it open and picked a random passage and put his finger on a passage. And it was from the Gospels, a story that said that Judas went out and hanged himself. And he thought, well, that's not very comforting. That's not very helpful. I'll pick another one. I'll go to another scripture. Came to another portion of the Gospels, which said Jesus told his disciples, "You go and do likewise." That wasn't very helpful for this man. So I don't think it's good to just flip through and pick out random scripture texts. This is something the world would do. It's a superstitious thing. But Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's not meant simply for big decisions in our lives, but it's meant for little decisions as well. The psalmist says it's a lamp for my feet. A lamp is something you carry close by that you hold in front of you so you can watch every little step that you take. And a light for my path. You can see the longer vision. You can see the longer trail, the longer path. So the God's word guides every little step we take, every little decision, but also the big steps, the longer journey that we take as well. And if we want to know God's will for our lives, we must listen to his voice, read his word, and find out what he desires for us. It's not simply a pick and choose of scripture text, but it's an internalizing of God's word. Paul says in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In order for us to be transformed by God's word, it takes much more than just flipping to a page and looking at a scripture text. But it is reading God's word every day, feeding ourselves on it. That way we can see things from God's perspective. We can interpret reality from God's perspective and not from the perspective of the world. Not being conformed by the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And in doing so, when we're confronted with decisions, we can see them from God's perspective. We can know what God's will is for us, what God's good and acceptable and perfect will is. We need to remember that God, that Jesus Christ is good and he loves you as his child. And he's not hiding from you or trying to confuse you. God tells us in his word what his will is for us. There's even several places in scripture which records, "And this is the will of God." I think I told you this before in a past sermon. Paul says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." And then he gives you a directive, "Flee sexual immorality." There's other portions of scripture that talk specifically of God's will. But in general, God's will is his entire word. Oftentimes we can get so anxious about trying to discern God's will, wondering if we're wrong in the decisions that we make. God has clearly revealed his will to us, however. He's clearly revealed how he desires us to live. And you are safe and in God's will if you make decisions which do not go against what God has clearly revealed in his word. And so if you have a decision to make, how do you make it? Well, there's many other aspects to making a decision, but I think fundamentally it comes to God's word. Will what I do contradict what God has clearly revealed? I'll give you an example in choosing a job. If you had an option to join the mob or the mafia, would this be a good job choice? Well, considering some of the things they may have you do, it would clearly contradict some of the things that God has clearly revealed. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. So we can see that job choice or decision would be clearly outside of God's will. Therefore, you ought not to take it. But considering other job opportunities, okay, well, what do we use? How do we measure that? Well, like I said, we measure the decisions based on what God's word says. So is this job going to be able to provide for my family? Scripture tells us that we need to care for our family. We need to watch after our family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if we do not care for our family, we're worse than an unbeliever. So we need to choose a job which will help us care for our family. That's how we know we're walking in God's will in that instance. Another area would be, will we be close to a church? a Bible-believing church. Scripture tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Like I said, Paul said that God's will is for us to be sanctified. We're sanctified by coming to church. And so to choose a job that would put us in a place where there would be no fellowship, Christian fellowship around us, I would argue would be outside of God's will. And so you see, we need to make decisions based on what God's word says. If we'll be clearly contradicting God's word based on our actions or decisions, it's not God's will for us. Take, for instance, the choosing of a spouse. Say you're a man and you're looking to get married. And there are four people that you're considering. First one's name is Bob. The second one is Kim. The third is Jen. And the fourth is Sarah. Well, how do we make this decision? Well, it's pretty clear from Scripture. Genesis guides us into the fact that a man shall only marry a woman. So Bob is excluded. Sorry, Bob. We can't go there. Well, how about Kim? Well, Kim's an unbeliever. The believers are Jen and Sarah. So how does this man choose, Kim, Jen, or Sarah? Well, the Scriptures teach us that we are to marry only in the Lord, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. So sorry, Kim, you're a nice gal, but I'm bound by the Word of God. I'm going to walk according to God's will. It would be against God's will to pursue a relationship with Kim. Now, what about Jen or Sarah? They're both nice Christian girls. How do I know which one is for me? How do I know what God's will is for me? Who has He chosen for me? How do I choose? How do I make that decision? Well, I would say pick which one you like the best. They're Christians. That's what God's requirement is. That's God's will, that you would marry in the Lord. That is His concern. Now, there are some things that might be wise in making that decision. If someone is immature, if one's more mature than another, it might be a better idea to marry the more mature individual. If someone is maybe of a different persuasion of the Christian faith, have different doctrinal leanings that might not mesh with your understanding of the Christian faith completely, it may be a wiser thing to marry the one that you're more aligned with. Paul commands us not to be unequally yoked. I think it has more to do with a harsh division between believer and unbeliever. But I think there's a principle we can draw from that that's helpful in determining, well, would this person walk with me in my faith? It'd be very difficult for someone who's solely convinced of the sovereignty of God to walk with someone who isn't convinced fully of the sovereignty of God. A Reformed individual and an Arminian, for instance. How will that be reconciled? I think that'll cause some difficulty in a marriage. But I think that there's nothing prohibiting that type of marriage. You would be walking in God's will, but one may be a little bit more wise than another. Another instance for marriage would be, well, has this person been married and have they had a legitimate divorce? If they hadn't been legitimately divorced according to the Word of God, then therefore it would be outside of God's will for me to pursue that individual. So I hope you see that the way in which we make decisions is based upon God's word. We can look at our decisions, we can look at our options and say, okay, well, will this option do anything that would contradict God's word, the principles of God's word? And if it doesn't, then be confident that you can step forward in that direction knowing that you are not walking outside of God's will. You see, we can't see the future. We don't know exactly how God has decreed things to go out. The only way we can see God's decree is by looking behind us. That which has gone before us is what we can say with certainty God has decreed. But we need to walk in faith, knowing that if we walk according to God's word, following His principles and His precepts, that we can walk safely and confidently and know that we'll be in God's will. That is how Christ leads us as a prophet. That's how He guides us. And so I want you to have confidence in making decisions in your lives whenever you come up against them. Don't be anxious about them. Don't be wondering whether you're going to make the wrong decision. But slow down, pray, ask God to lead you into the truth of His word and see what it says. Is there anything that might contradict God's word? Is there anything that God's word might be calling me to that would help me? Is there anything God would be calling me to that might be more manifest in one option than another? There's many aspects to making a decision, but I wanted to talk about this one in particular. So cling to God's word. It is a sure guide for us, and Christ leads you by it. Christ is the prophet, and he exercises the office of a prophet by revealing to us, by his word and spirit, the will of God for our salvation. That is one of his main roles as a prophet. As we come here today for the Lord's Supper, we remember what has been revealed for us. We remember what has been done for us by the Lord. We read of his salvation in his word. It's able to make us wise to salvation. We read of his death on the cross. We read of his resurrection from the dead. We read of the eternal life we might have in him. And we come here today seeing pictures of those things. We see pictures of the fact that Christ was crucified, that his body was broken for us, that his blood was poured out for your sins that they might be forgiven. And so I pray that today, as we come to the Lord's table, as he has commanded us to do, that you know you're walking in his will as you partake of this supper, and that you will be reminded and your faith will be strengthened by Christ our prophet. So let's pray together and thank him for leading and guiding us. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have not left us in the dark. You have not left us with no help in this world. But Lord, you have given us clear direction by your word. You have given us principles by which we may make sense of the world around us and make decisions in our lives. Sometimes we have to make very difficult ones, and they're hard. But we thank you, Lord, that you've given us confidence that we may stand on your word and know that we walk according to it when we live faithfully by it. So, Father, I pray that you would grant us more and more of your spirit to understand it better and to guide us and to teach us. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and for the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's respond by standing to sing Psalm 119, Selection A.